AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting on 860 AM in Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. If you received our email this morning, send it off to another person and invite them to tune in. If you have Alexa, just go to alexa.com, and boy, oh boy, you'll enjoy the next hour with us here on 860 AM. We're going to have a very interesting show today. There's a lot of things need to be said, and I want to first of all thank the people that are helping us to make this program possible. We have a number of sponsors. As you know, we are on 7 days a week here on 860, and Wednesday is our American Workers Radio Day, and we try to do that so that the people have a full hour of real interesting talk. I want to say thank you to the sponsors who make that possible, and also thank our panel members. Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store. Larkin Conley, who is the National Small Business Advocate. Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. And of course, Curtis Ellis, who is part of the American Jobs Alliance and America First Project. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash, always very pleased to be with you. Our broadcast on this Wednesday, May the 20th, in the year 2020, is an important day for all of us because we're getting closer and closer to the unofficial beginning of the summer season. And I also would like to report on some of the issues that we need to know the truth about. We need them to be discussed in the local and on the national news, and they are simply not doing it. They're talking nonsense almost the entire time they're on the air. As we mark Memorial Day 2020, Americans will be pausing to honor all who lost their lives in service to America. Of course, as you know, this year, the coronavirus restrictions are affecting our ability to have public events and parades and to mark Memorial Day and to gather with family and friends as we did in the past. The coronavirus is also a large problem with our industries. Our American workers are greatly affected by those industries being shut down. But as I talk to people in my travels, and I want it to be known by everyone, the downturn in America's economy is not as a result of bad leadership in America, nor is the loss of over 30 million jobs the fault of the American people or America's businesses. America's national elected leaders and also state and local elected leaders placed restrictions on America's businesses and on the American public for the protection of our health and well-being, and it's caused an enormous unemployment crisis in America. This all happened because the coronavirus that originated in China was not reported properly to you and me and the American people or countries around the world. The World Health Organization did not do its job, and it should not be supported. Now that all of us are experiencing this unbelievable aftermath of the coronavirus, and as businesses begin to reopen, we're all looking forward to getting people reemployed and seeing America's economy moving forward again. We have to remember that American businesses employ over 66 million Americans. 66 million Americans. Without those small businesses open, of course, we have an enormous amount of unemployment. When those stores get opened again, we're going to see a big difference in this country. I also want to say before I go to our guests that small business owners are not only concerned about themselves, they're concerned about their workers, They're concerned about their communities, and they're concerned to support their schools and to make life in America the way that it should. We need the liberty to do that. We need the liberty to make sure that we get our businesses operational, that we do it in the proper way, and of course, that we do it as soon as possible. With that, today I'm going to ask Mark Andel for some thoughts. Mark, you're a small businessman. How are things going up in your area of the country?
Hello, Mike, and welcome, everybody. Mike, you know, it's week 10 of the crisis. We have sun in Buffalo here. It's starting to break, the weather. You know, we're looking now at phase one. They released phase one in West New York, which is a start to the reopening, which is slow, but it was for light manufacturing and contractors and some agricultural, which just happened yesterday, really the first start. So we're excited to get things going again. It's very difficult. We're kind of looking back. We're looking at what's left here, trying to see what's left of the economy as we go forward. Again, Mike, it's one day at a time. Made in America, our Facebook friends, our movement, very, very, very strong. Thousands of percent growth on that side, hundreds of thousands. We're past the Facebook friends. Madeinamerica.com, the website, is growing, Mike. So there is good. We still have four stores closed. We can't open our mall stores until the malls are 100% open because you could hardly make it before with the retail. And general welding, the oil and mining industry took a big hit. That's going to – a ripple effect on this, Mike, is unknown, but there's a lot of bubbles. But we're in phase one. Like I said, we're waiting to get to phase two in 2 weeks. But it's a shame that, you know, the gap is 10, 12 weeks long here. But we, as Americans, will come back. We're strong. I've got a lot of business friends that unfortunately can't make the gap. You know, but we take one day at a time. Our travel industry, Mike, is, you know, our buses are canceled out till September for sure. We've got one left in October. That industry, I feel bad for the people that own their buses and have tours. Niagara Falls is not open. We got a souvenir store there. The border's not open. And, you know, Niagara Falls is closed. So phase four is a lot of these mass gatherings, even the large fair that we do, and possibly our state fair. They're not canceled yet, but it's looking like they may be, which also affects us business owners, Mike, in the revenue. So we've got to stay strong, one country, one goal. Like we said, we got to be one team. I like to see people coming together, but for the movement, I had Jim Stober on my other show yesterday, which he wrote the book, What If Things Were Made in America. Jim's an attorney and an entrepreneur, and he's going after he did legislation, which is kind of neat, Mike, and proposed, the CPA adopted it, and they're moving it to the Senate, and the House is interested, and they just had positive movement to really get more country of origin labels on products, especially for the Internet. So every week I'm tying somebody together. I think this movement is strong. It's the time now, Mike, to do what you've talked about for years, and we talked about, our team talked about, support the country you live in, Mike.
You know, I want to say something to you, Mark, this is very important. I'm glad you brought that up because I've been after the Internet providers for a long time to let it be known. Just put little flags and put China and wherever else they wanted to have their products sold from on their Internet site. But they didn't want to do that. And the guy was very honest with me. He said to me, well, if you did that and you displayed the flags of the world on those products, you would find that very few were made in America. You'd be hunting for the American flags, not seeing them in abundance, which is really very strange. And we have to turn that whole thing around. You're absolutely right. We have to push for country of origin, get the people again. We did it, and a lot of the companies started to put flags and made proudly made in the USA and all on their products. We have to make a big push for this. And by the way, if you look at the countries that have been affected by the coronavirus, you'll see that they are countries that do the most business with the Chinese communist government.
Yes, and Mike, you know, people, our consumers, me and Jim Stover talked about it, we know the power of each consumer, the power they have to change this country. It is up to the consumer to do their part. But this China COVID-19 pandemic was created by China. We know that. Do not pick up a China product and purchase it.
Please.
You know, we're asking our people.
I'm begging you. The countries with the major virus problems are the countries that allow Chinese business representatives and Chinese tourists to enter their countries freely without knowing that they had a virus, because China didn't tell anybody. They didn't give a damn about the people in other countries. They figured, oh, well, we just continue our commerce. While American manufacturers are closed, the Chinese communist government industries are making toys and holiday decorations and the wreaths and greeting cards and thousands of other products that will be on our store shelves by Christmas time. Yet America's industries are closed. I think that whole thing has to be refigured. Thinking of that thought, I want to turn to Curtis Ellis. Curtis, what do you have to say?
Well, you hit it right on the head. This is the time now when factories are making the items that are going to be sold at Christmas. And it is really, really shows the master plan that Beijing has, which is they would take advantage of this this chaos and the economic shutdown to move up in the lead, to pass us on the curve, if you will, in the race. You have to definitely suspect, and I would say I'm beyond suspecting. I believe their plan was, when they discovered this disease in Wuhan and knew they were going to have to shut down vast parts of their country and their industrial capacity, they wanted to make sure that the rest of the world had to do the same. And so they spread it deliberately. They put people on airplanes, sent them out around the world, sent people into the streets of Milan with signs that say, show you're not a racist, hug a Chinese. I had reports, credible reports, signed reports, not anonymous reports, not a friend of a friend of a friend told me. Some fellow people who were traveling in Europe in January, in December, on tours, and there were groups of Chinese students getting on trains, getting on the tour buses, sitting down, coughing, and then getting off the next stop, getting on without tickets. And when the conductors came, they would get off and meet up on the platform with others who had been in other cars on the train. Very suspicious activity. You really have to wonder what's going on there. China has a deliberate plan. And as the longer we stay, keep our economy on ice and keep people locked in their homes and keep people locked out of their businesses, we're playing right into the hands of the Chinese Communist Party to destroy this economy and destroy this country. And it's that simple. Now, here's the good news. Now that we've started out with the bad news, here's the good news. There's bipartisan legislation has been introduced in the Senate by Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, and her co-sponsor is Senator Rick Scott of Florida. And this legislation, it's S3707, would require Amazon and all online sales platforms to list the country of origin of everything that's being sold. Every item that's listed for sale online would have to have country of origin labeling, and the selling entity, would have to list their nationality as well.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
This is a necessary. It's a huge step and a necessary step. Now, we know that the Chinese are going to lie, because they always lie. That's how they do business. It's based on lies and theft and cheating. But Americans will vote with their wallets as well as their ballots, but they can only vote if they have an informed wallet, just like you can only vote if you have an informed ballot or unless your ballot is harvested by somebody who's informed. But that's another story. But we want to, and then they deliberately keep you uninformed, and they say, we'll just take it from here, hand over your ballot, we'll take care of that for you. This is huge legislation, and our friends at the Coalition for a Prosperous America have been working on this for a long time, and they finally got it through. Now, it's not been adopted, but they finally got it introduced in the Senate, and we really have to pump this up. That's S3707. S3707. I'm going to start a petition that we can then circulate and get people to send a message to their senators to please sign on and support this very important legislation. I don't know if you heard the news yesterday, but the federal government, the Trump administration, let a contract for $354 million to a new American company, Phlow, Phlow, that's going to make medicines and active pharmaceutical ingredients, the ingredients that go into our medicines, and they're going to manufacture them in Richmond, Virginia.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. They're going to be starting by the medicines that are used to treat COVID. Now, these are medications that are used in many applications, sedatives, painkillers, things like that. And it's the ingredients that are used to make them, because all those ingredients are the weak point that we're sourcing now from China and India. There is no manufacturer, no American manufacturer of that. That has just changed. That just changed yesterday. And
excellent.
These will be stockpiled. We're going to have a strategic stockpile of these ingredients. So in the event of an emergency, we will not be in the same position we were in. And this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. There's polls after poll after poll shows the American people want to buy American. They're willing to pay more for something made in China. Bloomberg had a poll that showed 86% of Americans say we're too reliant on China. 78% said they're willing to pay more for something that's not made in China. 55% say they don't believe China will meet its obligations to buy more American stuff under the trade deal. 40% said they will not buy from China. They're ready to boycott China. And 66%, that is a supermajority, 66%, two-thirds of Americans, say they want to see more restrictions on imports. They don't want to see more free trade deals. They want to see more restrictions on imports. That's the better way. That's the best way to improve the economy. These free trade agreements are not improving the economy. This is a sea change, my friends. We are in a new world. And already the other side is, the globalists are panicking. They can't understand how could this happen. They've never seen such a shift in opinion. Well, folks, we've never seen a pandemic like this. We've never seen our way of life brought to a screeching halt. And everybody knows who to blame. And they're not blaming President Trump and saying, oh, thank you, President Xi, for sending over this bug. It's so nice to be able to spend time at home eating meatballs with Governor Cuomo narrating the dinner.
Curtis, you nailed it.
That's not what Americans are saying, my friend.
I love it. You
and
know
I'm
what?
Leave you on one last note.
Yeah, we weren't invited on Sunday, Curtis.
And the other thing, people are going nuts. So I love all these doctors, these doctors on TV who probably haven't seen a patient in 20 years, right? Because they're too busy getting their hair and makeup done to be on with Anderson Cooper and people like that. All going crazy that President Trump is taking hydroxychloroquine. Well, number one, this is another promise made, promise kept, right? He said it was good. He'd be a hypocrite if he wasn't taking it.
And by the way, that is only given at the prescription from a doctor. So that he could beg a doctor, and if the doctor didn't think it was good for him, he wouldn't give it to him.
And you know he's got a doctor watching him. I mean, he's the damn president of the United States. He's got a doctor.
I can't walk into any pharmacy and say I want this or that. I can't send a surrogate to the pharmacy. A doctor prescribed. A doctor knows his every moment of his physical abilities. You don't give someone.
If you go on the CDC website and look for their advice on what to do if you're taking your family to a malaria zone, they tell you hydroxychloroquine, brand
name
Plaquenil, is widely used and no problem. It's been used for years. Millions of people take it. The biggest side effect is an upset stomach. I mean, that's what it says on the CDC. But here's my point. I love all these doctors that get on set going crazy over it. He shouldn't be taking this. How dare he take a drug that hasn't been tested, that there haven't been clinical trials with, you know, double-blind, random selection clinical trials. It's irresponsible for him to do that. How could he be doing that? I'm waiting to see the random selection, double-blind clinical trial on marijuana. They're selling that everywhere.
But you know, Curtis, I am
doctors who are like up in arms. How dare the president do this? We've got Mayor de Blasio smoking blunts. Nobody's criticizing him for using a drug that hasn't been run through a clinical trial.
Now, Curtis, I have to tell you this. The people who are taking this drug, it's under different names, Plaquenil and something else, have been doing it for years. And yes, they say that they have very bad arthritis and they needed that. It was prescribed to them 10, 12 years ago, and they're still alive and well.
Right.
You know, and what the hell is going on?
I'm on.
I know
drug.
One of these people. I know somebody like that. She has lupus.
I'm on the drug myself, Curtis. I've been on Plaquenil for probably 15 years.
Huh.
And the biggest side effect is actually I have to see an eye doctor every 6 months because you could go blind from taking it, but it's a rare occurrence. But yeah, and it also takes a little while to get into your system, so you have to take something. Like if he was to start taking it now, it would take weeks for it to start having an effect.
Right, right. Well, I think the president's protected because the COVID virus is repelled by Tang, so his orange color just.
Oh, my God. You know, Curtis, everywhere I go, and I try to do my travels safely, everybody wants the businesses opened up immediately. They can use the proper safeguards. They know what the hell to do. They don't need somebody. I mean, they already heard it for 2 months. This is what you do. This is what you don't do. Let's get this thing moving again. Not talking. We're all in this together and all. What the hell exactly does that mean?
We're all in the mass grave together at the rate we're going. Gosh.
The small businesses are concerned. The owners are devastated. They want to get their people together. You know,
I have a hard time sleeping just worrying about just worrying about China. If I was living paycheck to paycheck, or I had a small business and people depending on me, and it was my whole life, and I saw no money coming in, I don't know how I'd sleep at night. I mean, I have a hard enough time as it is already, but I'm one of the lucky ones. I mean, I my heart goes out to you, Mark, and everybody else.
That's right. You know what really I would like to see some real group of leaders in Washington say, if China doesn't buy what they said they were going to buy within this time period that they say they were going to buy all these American products, then we're going to just let their ships loaded with the 100,000 containers of Christmas items stay at sea until New Year's.
There you go.
That's a solution.
Yeah.
You know, we can do with what we have in the closets. We can do with what we can make ourselves. There are things that our small businesses, our small arts and crafts places could go wild. Let's start getting people back to who they really should be.
Exactly.
We have so much potential in this country. You know, all these people want you to sit behind closed doors. I asked several politicians if they would bring me the statistics about the number of people infected, the number of people under recoveries, the number of deaths. Then I also asked them to give me the age categories for each of the death categories and things like that. I'm still waiting. They say, oh, it's up to the health secretary or it's up to the deputy, this one or that one, to release that. Why?
Well, you've got a real doozy of a health secretary there in Pennsylvania. Takes her mother out of the nursing home before she sends all the infected people in. I mean, my gosh. But that's right.
And you know what, Curtis, bringing that to light is this. This also has to be said. From day one, they were allowing people in the nursing homes to stay there infected and a little concerned. But they were also bringing people from hospitals for recuperation to nursing homes.
Unbelievable.
That's only being admitted in the last 10 days.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But, you know, you raise a good point there. It's, let's use this opportunity here. There are some good things, just the way the coming out of this pandemic, just the way it has woken everyone up. We're now woke on China and to the destruction of our economy that's been going on for 40 years, but now it's clear to everybody, as those numbers show, that those polling numbers that I put out earlier. This is an opportunity to let's get back to basics. Let's who we really are. We don't need all this junk from China to be happy. This should teach us, what do we need to be happy? All I want for Christmas is to be let out of the house. You know, I mean,
that's right. Curtis, one of the things that really, really shocked most Americans is when they heard the amount of healthcare products, pills, lotions, and everything else all made in China. No one believed it because mm-hmm. it comes in packages and bottles all written up from the place of wherever you buy it from, which pharmacy. And it doesn't say much on the boxes. It says distributed by Pork.
Right.
And that is why S3707 is very important, not only for the products, but for the drugs as well. Because people now are saying, I don't want to take that stuff from China. Why the hell didn't they say this years ago? Very good point. You're watching these evening news shows on all these cable channels. Why haven't they been telling you this?
No, because they're all funded. Look, what are the ads on the cable news channels? It's the drug companies. They're advertising Humira and Huminska and whatever. The words, the names that sound like I don't know what. I mean, where do they get these names from? I have no idea. But, yeah, it's all the drug companies that are carrying, that are major advertisers on television, besides the fact that CNN is owned by Warner, which has a movie studio that sells its movies in China, and same with ABC and NBC as well, and CBS. They all have huge business interests in China, and they have no interest, they have no desire to get sideways with the commissar. So it's There is hope here in S3707. The Senate bill applies to everything sold online. We have to tell you where it's made.
I'd love to see it also be for everything sold in the stores, every label. You remember Mark Marcy was on the show a few years ago.
Yes.
She was trying to push it. Everybody pushed against her. The reason they pushed against those ideas of having everything labeled is because most people would see for themselves right away that it's made in somewhere else and not in America.
Yeah, I met her down in Vegas. Yeah, do we got Rich itching to come on, Mike?
Rich, tell us everything. You heard a lot already. Let's have it.
Michael, good morning. Good morning, and Curtis, and to our great audio engineer, makes us sound good every week. Swing voter in a swing state. Never forget that. We're going to earn votes. I've already started making my calls. Well, I'm going to start, I should say, making my calls for the reelection campaign. And I'm in amazement, Curtis, how many people became doctors overnight from Twitter Medical School University. I mean, we're all doctors now, and climatologists, and we're experts in virology, and you know, we figure out
hippocracy.
So it's like imagine applying for a job with a resume of anti-vaccine, globalist, open border virologist, climatologist. COVID expert. We just became all of this overnight. And I sit back, you know, me, simple me, and I just look at what has happened with the CDC, right? The CDC has offered guidelines. Does seem to me that adhering to those guidelines, achieved probably quicker than anyone had reasonably expected, those guidelines, which we paid for, the CDC is not a private entity, for profit, those guidelines seem to have worked, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason, see, the irony of it all is that the actual science that's directly in front of us is largely either shunned or just not recognized. Because part of the reason that, for example, in New York, where the outbreak, we believe, in New York started, New Rochelle, that's where I went to college, Michael. I know New Rochelle very well. I used to live near that area. I lived in New York for 35 years and then realized living in cold weather is dumb. So I moved, because it is. I mean, I'm not saying that someone is a dumb person, but living in cold is dumb. I think we have a consensus on that. So I have Larkin's down here also. The irony of all of it, Michael, is that the science of this is that we've got guidelines, they've worked, we have flattened the curve, we're able now to go out adhering to those guidelines while we slowly reopen. See, what I just said right there, that doesn't require a PhD public high school diploma to be a policy wonk. It just means that we can stay safe while we start to slowly and as quickly as we can accelerate the reopening so we can get on the pathway, we can get on track to start leading the comeback. Right now the message, the mindset in the country has to be leading the comeback. But you can't lead a comeback when 40, 50, 60% of the American workforce, including small businesses, are not working at all. The difference between not working at all, Michael, and having 25, 50% capacity. And I see in your state in Pennsylvania that it seems like there are enough people who are starting to realize that it went from flatten the curve to 0%. And I want to know, where did that come from? See, can anyone on the panel actually tell me what so-called experts introduced 0% from flattening the curve? Where did that come from?
Well, that's a really good question, Rich.
I'm asking seriously here. This is not a gotcha question. Where, from whom or what organization did that originate? That's what I'm asking.
That's a really good question. On the bait and switch, how exactly did the bait and switch happen?
I have a very unresearched answer on it. That it stems from California. Mike Sessions, one of our great listeners, is out there. We thank him for listening every week and enduring us for an hour every Wednesday. But I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the actual answer. I just want to know where it started.
Well, talking about Mike Sessions, he's done a lot of work on the a new app that he has. And you can go on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on that link on the right-hand side and go. And you can download the app. You can get the app for American Workers Radio and also the app that's promoting all American-made products. In fact, I'd like to extend this invitation. I know that California time is a few hours earlier than we are right now, but we get Mike Sessions on very soon so that he can explain all of his efforts from his own mouth. I'd like to hear it. And by the way, I saw that he did a great job with Mark Andel's symbol. Mark, it looks beautiful. It's been well received. We've been promoting it. And thanks to Mike Sessions for what he's also done for American Workers Radio. It's very interesting that people are more motivated than ever. And guys, I do not think that the American people know how businesses in the United States are being economically devastated by this closure. Until we get back to normal, nothing is going to happen for the positive. American workers at this point are devastated. We have over 30 million people that are unemployed that could be employed within a month if the businesses got open and back to normal. Do you agree with that, Curtis?
Agreed. Absolutely.
And we got to do it. I mean, I understand that it's all done by the governors. However, I think that this is the time, and that maybe Memorial Day weekend is the right time for them to present state by state the actual statistics. Working in human services, I have the opportunity to look at exactly where the deaths took place, how those deaths were placed in categories. I know that the elderly in institutions have been over 70%, 75% in some parts of the Commonwealth and some parts in different states. It's 80% of the people. Now, if that is the case, then we should have been told that in the very beginning. We have to protect the elderly, and we have to let the people of all ages know how to protect themselves. And by the way, I also, if I'm not mistaken, from school, I'm thinking about this, and Curtis and Mark and Rich, you can check me if I'm wrong. An emergency situation in any state should last no longer than 30 days. After the 30th day, it is up to the state legislature to agree to continue the state of emergency. Is that a fact, Rich? You would, as a newspaper guy, you would maybe know that better than me.
Well, I can't, Michael. You know, again, in all what I don't know, and won't try to BS my way out of it. I've read about certain states, for example, in Michigan. The governor there just recently was legally affirmed in her emergency declaration. I'm sure there will be appeals in the court. I think that, and again, I'm just speaking for as much as I hate to say what I'm about to say, I'm going to contradict myself because every time everybody asks me, Rich, how do you like Florida? I always tell them I hate it. Don't ever move here. Because I don't want any more people living in Florida, Mike. We got enough people. I don't want anyone else moving here. You know, so it's like I always tell, I hate it. I hate Florida. I regret moving here. Oh, really? And maybe they changed their mind and moved to, like, Colorado or something. So they don't come here. But I think Florida and Texas, we got peeps in Texas, Michael, who listen. I think we did it, in hindsight, as best as we reasonably could have. We had a 30 day closure, and then we looked at individual sections of our state rather than a blanket closure after the 30th day. We looked at, okay, what parts seem to be a little more susceptible, populations a little bit more vulnerable. This is the opposite, essentially the opposite of what the Californians, New Yorks, Michigans, Washington's have done. It's been a blanket closure, whereas we in Texas did it, in Georgia did it a little bit differently, where we had a blanket, but then we started to realize that we could start to slowly reopen while keeping people safe and secure. And that's why, just as a side note, that's why our governor Ron DeSantis is getting smacked around a little bit like a pinata in the Democrat media industrial complex. And I always say, Michael, it's always two principles at work. If you're a Republican and you get smacked around in the Democrat media industrial complex, you're doing something right. If you're a Republican and you get complimented in the Democrat media industrial complex, you're doing something wrong. Great, Curtis?
That's it. Absolutely.
If the Washington Post writes an editorial.
When President Trump extended the lockdown order past Easter, when he wanted to get rid of it, Ilhan Omar came out and congratulated him on great leadership. I knew there was a problem.
Right. See, Curtis, you see, Curtis, what he said right there. See exactly what he said right there. Right. As soon as I saw that, I thought, uh-oh, we need to recalibrate. We need to rethink this strategy. The Washington Post writes a glowing editorial about Ron DeSantis, I already know he did something wrong.
Well, that right. But Rich, my question is this. I understood from history that no governor should override the state's economy for more than 30 days, even in a pandemic. The legislature then has to agree. Did the legislature in Florida agree that it should be continued on day 31?
Well, we didn't. But see, Michael, this is again a lesson to be learned in it all, is your state representatives matter. We didn't really need to do that here. We didn't really need to do that here because we didn't have in Tallahassee, our state capital, we didn't have this bureaucratic dispute that you're seeing, for example, in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a perfect example, Michael. You have a Democrat governor and a majority Republican legislature. We didn't have that problem down here. And there is legal precedent for governors having, relatively speaking, pretty broad powers in declared emergency. That doesn't mean there's a tyranny and there's a dictator. I mean, it shouldn't be that, tyranny and dictatorship. But as the chief executive of the state, the governors do have some pretty broad powers. The question then becomes in the courts. Did the governor overstep his or her boundaries legally? And then we sorted out in the courts. We didn't really worry about that down here. I'm not saying, look, no one did anything perfectly. The second time around, Michael, the only time you can criticize someone for not having done it right in the very first unprecedented time is if that person has extrasensory perception, telepathic, august, erudite, extrasensory perception, prescient brilliance, and clairvoyance. If someone doesn't have extrasensory perception, telepathic, brilliant, omniscient, prescient clairvoyance, then it's easy to say the second time around what to do. We didn't, I'm not saying we did it perfectly here, Michael, but we did it a lot better.
Well, I agree. I agree. From what I've been seeing about Florida, I'd like to see that same type of thing happening in the United States. I would like every American to know what the rules and regulations that can be imposed by the government, the governor, and then, if it has to be continued, the legislature has to be consulted. Otherwise, it's like a king with no...
That I do agree with. Even with legal precedent of governors having broad powers, that does not legally permit a governor to have legislative detachment from the legislature. That point with you, I do.
Well, then we don't. We don't need the legislature. Just elect the governor, and that's the end. I mean, we have to have the people of the United States understand on day 31. We should have been asking every governor, all states, to have a report. This is where we are. This is why we have to continue for another week or 10 days. Or they go then for the next 11 day to 20 days. Right now, most people don't know. They don't know how long it's going to last. They have no idea. We're now talking about a new stimulus in Washington. Another stimulus that's going to help the American people. But in the process, we have people in the House of Representatives who want to overload the cart with a lot of these special interest things. And I'm against it 100%. This is supposed to be a stimulus, an additional stimulus to help American workers, to help American businesses, and not help pet projects. I'm sorry. Curtis, what do you think of this new stimulus and all the fringe benefits that they're asking for?
They're trying to position themselves as the we care about people, and it's their base they're going for. They've got all this diversity stuff in there, and it's the whole wish list.
But does that have anything to do with stimulating the economy, the wish list?
Absolutely not.
Well, then it should be out. And I would be disappointed if the Senate and the President of the United States agreed to any of it.
We should see, the Republicans are so bad. Not talking about the President here, but the congressional Republicans are just so weak. They ought to be presenting their own bill, which says no state gets a nickel until they reopen. and Governor Meatballs, I mean Cuomo, and Pritzker and Gavin Newsom, they can pound sand until they let our people go back to work.
We need liberty.
And until they do that, we're not going to give you a nickel. And enough
yeah,
of
you
it.
Know, you know, the problem is reopening is getting our workers back right now, finding workers, seeing what's left of this big machine called the economy. We don't know if we can get our workers back. I got a bakery friend open yesterday. They can't get workers back because you get the $505 plus the $600. And now if you extend it with this new stimulus, I'm hearing things extended in the next year.
Exactly. They're talking about giving people unemployment until January.
Curtis, how do you get workers? We couldn't get them before.
Well, who is proposing that, Curtis?
Nancy Pelosi.
Well, she was mentioned yesterday as a very, very sick woman. If she is proposing that, she's more than sick. She's trying to give fish after fish after fish to people instead of teaching them how to fish and have the ability to take care of themselves. We can't keep these businesses closed.
No more free money, Mike. Yeah.
Yeah, their behavior confirms my worst fears that they are intentionally trying to destroy this economy because then they can build their socialist economy, their dream machine, which doesn't work and it's a nightmare, not a dream. But they want to rebuild America the way they want to build it. Unfortunately, they don't know how to build anything. They couldn't run a one-car funeral. But they think they can run this country and, you know, with diversity and equal opportunity for all and equal outcomes for all and all this other nonsense. They actually believe that. And what it is, and I wrote this a few weeks ago, I think what we're seeing is a targeted hit on the Trump supporters, right? Close down small business. Close down
the independents.
Curtis. The big guys open. The people on welfare still get their welfare checks. The people who work for a living ain't getting it.
And, you know, I want to mention Curtis and Rich. Larkin is out today at another event. But I want to tell you, and Mark, for the sake of seeing what's going on, I put on my mask and I went to several stores. And, you know, as you're going through the stores, people are picking up items. They look at it, whether it's batteries or something else. They throw it back on the shelves. How do I know that somebody isn't ill?
Yeah. Right.
They're walking with no trouble. I think the small businesses would be better at maintaining order in their stores.
There you go.
Think this is what much better. You should see how some of these people are impatient, rolling out all the wood and stuff that they're bringing, paint and whatever they bought. They're all touching this, waiting in the lines, like wild Indians grabbing everything possible. And I'm thinking to myself, where is their virus protection representative?
You know, you've got a really good point there, Michael. I never thought of it. The small business, the small proprietor, the small retailer, they've got the ratio of personnel to square feet is much more manageable. They have an easier time wiping down every single thing on the shelf if they wanted to. These big box stores, there aren't enough people there on a good day. You can never find somebody to ask where is
right.
it. How could they possibly? And it makes no sense that you can have crowds of people in Walmart, crowds of people in Home Depot or Costco, and they never get the virus. But if you let two people into a small store, oh my gosh, you're going to get sick, die, and crash the hospital system.
And Curtis, our DMVs aren't open. You know,
your
I think
DMV's
they can control that
open?
Also here.
They are not open?
They're not open. No,
oh,
I sell a lot of
my
trailers.
God.
And you could sell a trailer, but a person can't register it.
Where are the illegal aliens going to get their driver's licenses?
Oh, my gosh. This is terrible.
But, you know, Michael, I have another, if I may, another comment that Curtis just brought up about the equal outcomes aspect, which is actually, Curtis, a chapter. I devote an entire chapter to that concept in my upcoming book, 10 Warning Signs Your Child is Becoming a Democrat, How to Make America Grown Up Again. And I always like to say that I've got a GOP-related sequel that I'll drop as many bombs in as I do the first book. So
I want that, Rich. I want equal opportunity for all.
And in that chapter, I actually did the math that, and I've mentioned this number before, Michael, so if you'll permit the repetition for a moment, the world has existed for approximately 142 quadrillion seconds and counting. And never in one of those 142 quadrillion seconds ever has there ever been an equal outcome. So the sequel to my question of how did from whom or where originated the flatten the curve to 0%? My sequel question mark is, right now in America, we have approximately 250 Americans aged 19 to, I believe it's 80, Michael. So it's about 225, 250, give or take here and there. And tens of millions of that, of adults, those are adults, right, in that group are seeking 0% of infection. Where did we develop, Curtis, a mindset that there's a such thing as 0% or 100%? Where did that come from?
Right, right.
Is that in the manifesto of the Communist Party? Where did that, and I'm asking this question seriously, where did adult-aged people come to believe that anything in life is 0% or 100%? What's the origin of that?
Yeah, exactly.
Where'd that come from? Was that an LSD trip in San Francisco? Like, where'd that come from?
Right.
I mean, I look at this question, everybody looks at me like I just landed in a flying saucer and forgot to put my pants on before exiting it. I'm asking.
the tyranny of abstract thinking. I mean, 0 and 100, all and none, are abstract concepts that have no basis in reality.
You know, unfortunately, I'm not trying to statistize. You know, it's that old saying, one death's a tragedy, a million's a statistic. I'm not trying to do that here. We have a million plus deaths annually in auto-related accidents, right? And I'm not sitting here saying, oh, you know, like, we have insurance, we have seatbelts, we have all this stuff. But we don't get in the car and say, well, you know, today's the day, I've got 100%. We understand, I mean, well, I should say, those who are adults who understand the adult world, you know, make America grown up again. You know, we understand that we got to keep people safe and secure, you have to start, Michael, to reopen the lifeblood of the nation, which is our economy, our small businesses especially. And
our schools.
Our schooling, right? It's a really clever ploy. You know, you got to give credit to wherever it came from. It's a really clever ploy that the goalpost, when everyone was kind of like scared and we didn't understand what was going on, the manipulators were behind. I don't mean to get tinfoil hat with you here. My tinfoil hat's at the dry cleaner wall, my miter hat. I'm not going there, but what I'm saying, Curtis, is when everybody was sort of scared and wondering what was going on, you had these clever people saying, let's slowly start introducing 0%. And then use that as the basis for not reopening the entire state, Michael. And now I think people have caught on to it, and that's why you're seeing what you're seeing.
You know, one of the big problems that we see, I'm seeing in every state, is that it's all political people at the table of decisions, and not business representatives at that same table. That's very strange. I think we have to get schools at the table, business leaders at the table, everybody, medical leaders, the whole deal. And it should be that way all the time, not just during a pandemic or anything else. Everybody should have a seat at the table. A governor of every state should have a committee of people who represent the actual population of the state. He should have a meeting once a month with these people. Should be an honor to be on such a committee. That way everybody is included. No governor, no mayor, no county director should be considered as a king of their own. Everybody's supposed to be. We pay the taxes. We should have seats at the table to know how the taxes are given in, and not just at the council hearings or the borough hearings or whatever, but somebody should be there available to answer those questions 365 days a year. Now, I want to say one thing. Curtis, you brought up a very interesting point today, S3707. Can I ask you to make a major push to get this out to the public?
Yes.
I will forward it to as many people as I can. And when would this be thrown on the table in Washington?
Well, that's up to us. We have to push hard for it. And knowing how things work in Washington,
It's not going to be right away, but actually this is the kind of non-controversial legislation that if we get enough, make enough noise about it and get all of our, get Senator Toomey to sign on to it and, you know, who's the other senator from Pennsylvania?
Casey, this should not be a political issue.
Exactly.
It should be.
It's got bipartisan. You've got a
right.
Democrat and a Republican sponsoring it. You know, Senator Scott's compadre there, Marco Rubio, and let's get everybody else
let's
on
get
this
thing
yeah,
moving.
We'll push it around.
Mark, I think you would really appreciate
Absolutely.
Something like this. Yep. I know I would. I've been pushing it for it for years, and they keep telling me that it's discriminating. If there's a lot of other country flags and not American flags, this is all nonsense. Ladies and gentlemen, as I want to say thank you to Curtis Ellis, to Mark Andel, to Rich Loges, to Henry Chaplinsky, and Larkin Conley, who's absent today, and all of you for doing your best. This coming Monday, we're going to be honoring those who gave their life in service to America. I ask that you, if you're not able to go out, at least put your flag out on the lawn to make sure that you honor these great people in some way. And I want to tell you this, too. Until we meet again, in behalf of all of us in the Blihash family and in behalf of all of our panel members, I want to wish you and yours the very best. Stay well, stay happy, and, of course, spread the good word that we need American-made movement moving up the ladder of success. If you have something to tell me, send it to me at michael@americanworkersradio. I appreciate hearing from you, and I of course use a lot of your ideas on air during the broadcast. Curtis, we learned a lot today. We got to push S3707. Rich Loges and Mark Andel, I'm asking also you be part of that committee to push it out to all of your people, because that will be a big and positive movement for our Buy American Made campaign. Until we meet again, God bless all of you. God bless America. And of course, remember all our good soldiers who gave their life this Monday. Have a great one.
Have a great week, guys. Buy American.